This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by otbdiscs.com.
At one point in time, if you listened to the show, you knew about our little secret site to get awesome discs. It's not a secret anymore. It is a site where you can learn everything about the discs you're purchasing before you actually have them in your hands.
Get disc weight, dominess, flatness, all kinds of ratings. Learn it before you get it in there and get your favorite disc at only the best discs, otbdiscs.com. Use promo code DGPODCAST to get free shipping on your next order. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 232 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin. Alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
Hello. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm doing very well. Joe is somber for a reason. We would like to start off this show. We are normally a lighthearted show, but we would like to extend our condolences to the Wysocki family. And Rick lost his sister, Lauren, earlier this morning. I can't imagine what he's going through playing the tournament and his family with the loss. So if you have time and you want to reach out to them, they have a GoFundMe that's on there. Her name is Lauren Mays, M-A-Y-S-E. And there's also Wysocki, so if you want to donate to their family, I'm sure they would appreciate it greatly. But, you know, I can't imagine what they're going through, and it's honestly pretty incredible that Rick made it back to compete in
100%.
The DDO today. So, just sad, but
I like to think that, you know, his you know, alongside his immediate family, but his family is also out there on the disc golf course. And
yep.
That is what I would want to be doing.
Yeah. And they seem like a very tight-knit unit, big family. And I'm sure they will all rally around each other in support. And as has, from what I can see, the disc golf community. So, you know, again, our condolences and good luck to Rick this weekend, and I hope that healing is on the way for the Wysocki family. So with that said, we have the Dynamic Discs Open already in progress, starting on a Wednesday, which always makes our recordings more difficult.
And it's compounded by the fact that we hung out for an hour and a half last night talking disc golf.
Probably could have, you
just
know,
done the podcast in you know, before DD Open. By the way, once again, I brought this up last week. I still just feel like we should call it Glass Blown Open.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So we have a NASCAR road course in our hometown, which is now called Sonoma Raceway, but the entirety of our youth, it was called Park or
Sears Point.
Sears Point.
Yeah.
And
then it was in Finian.
Oh, right. Still, yeah. It's Sears Point. Yeah. Sears Point.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it should just be the Glass Blown Open. I mean, that's a much better name anyway. But got started today. I'm not a huge fan of that, but that's mostly my own personal issue with it not working with my schedule of when I'd like to record a podcast. So there's really no there's no basis for it, but I'm sure they're getting after it, and it's to the normal you know, kind of spectacle that it is. I mean, it takes over that town. So
oh, totally.
They're getting after it, I'm sure. I saw images of the players packs on there. They put out trooper bags or paratrooper bags.
Oh, they did. That's great.
That have, as part of the players packs, that have the different state flags. Like the fabric was just, you know, so you could get like a California Republic paratrooper bag if you if you got to it and like all this. They some of them, I assume the hideousness just varies depending on how much you like your state's flag.
Well, it's like when you don't pay top tier pros to be on your
I mean, Chris Clemens, he was on the feature card. He's good.
He definitely was on the feature card.
Yeah, and then there's
stop. It's all. You know what I feel like Didi has been doing? Actually, I really hope this is what they're doing. I feel like there's actually like a lot of really good young talent on their teams that are maybe going to build them up, but by the time they're really well off, they'll go to a different team. But you know, whatever. It's
yeah. No, it's working. We've got a great show. Like,
I didn't mean to roll and just talk shit. I apologize.
I didn't know where else to go. So we've got a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to talk about the Mid America Open. A lot of players dropped out of it, but we'll still cover it. There was some interesting points to it, and the course change that we discussed in the last episode. The Dynamic Discs Open is in progress.
Glass Blown Open.
You're right, man. I see. I got it in the notes. I can't
Robin's
change it.
Just a DD shill here on our podcast.
If it's on the teleprompter, Robin will read it. Okay.
You write the teleprompter, Robin.
But I didn't know you were going to change the name of the tournament.
I didn't know they were going to change the name of the tournament.
Listen, it's a shared Google document. You can edit it right now if you want to on your phone so that it'll fix it and I won't do it again. But
oh, my phone's so far away.
For the last time, if it's on the teleprompter, I will read it, okay?
I will remember that.
You're just going to have to...
Get ready for some fun. Some
so anyway,
episodes.
Robin is a huge jerk. Is in progress. Wait, Joe.
Shh. Oh, got him.
But we won't spoil tournaments at this point.
We'll talk a little bit
in progress, but we'll talk about some things, especially the coverage and stuff like that, and the conditions. The weather was especially poor, and there's
the fact that Paul McBeth aced every hole, even the par fives.
So we'll get after that. And then we have our world famous beer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both and let you know whether you should bring on the course. Tonight we have Dangstaline by Cooperage Brewing Company, which is an 8% alcohol double IPA. And we're pairing that with the Latitude 64 Trident, a 6-speed 4-glide minus 0.5 turn 3 fade. You know, like fairway
mid-y.
So
is a approach is between putter and mid, right?
Yeah.
Like when you put the approach.
Yeah.
What's between a mid and a fairway?
I don't know. Sometimes they call them utility, but utility can extend. Utility to me basically means like overstable disc, like really overstable disc.
Right.
But I don't know. It's to me, it's clearly a fairway driver. I remember dealing with like the Cax Z or whatever it was.
Right.
And people being like, no, that's definitely a mid. And I'm like, it's not that clearly defined. It's got a pointy nose. I don't know. So, but, and I'm sure I just triggered a whole bunch of people again.
A futility driver.
Sure. Why not? But we will get into that, I assure you, in great detail in the deer review.
Indeed.
So Mid-America Open, it had moved off of Harmony Bends,
mm-hmm,
to the, I believe it was like the Alberta course or something. I forget what.
Well,
but
no, the Oakland.
Oakland, that's
Oakland.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'll say too, and I didn't, honestly, until watching this, didn't really click when we were talking about last week about Harmony Bends. And I had a great like moment where I remembered Harmony Bends. Remembered KJUSA winning, but I do totally remember, and I didn't think about it last week, how flooded some sections were of
Harmony
Bends for last year.
No, it's a constant problem.
But I also
remember
how cool of a course it was.
No, not Oakland. It's Albert Park. It's not Alberta. It's Albert Oakland Park. Okay, there we go.
So we both got it right.
Yeah, we both. Oakland. You got it more right, I would say, but we...
I was not expecting you to give me that. you just made my night. I thought somehow you'd be like, we're both right. It's fine.
You were wrong, but I was, you know.
I was more wrong. So anyways, course was a course.
You know, on second thought, the conviction that you gave when you said that it was Oakland Park made it seem as though you knew exactly what it was, which was somewhat disingenuous. And
I actually didn't say park at all. I just said Oakland.
When I was, you know, expressing my own apprehension, not knowing what it was, I was being, you know.
So, Robin, if you played this course 20 times, what do you think your best score would be?
I think I could get like six down on this course. Six. Yeah, I'd say six.
I think you could do better than that.
I don't think so.
Here's the thing.
I would find. Well,
let me take this. Let me spin this. If you play this course 20 times, out of the 18 holes, overall, not in one round, out of the 18 holes, how many do you think you could birdie?
I'd say 16 of them.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It is a crazy gettable course.
Yeah.
I think we're both, I just bring that up purely to be like, we're kind of blown away with the ending scores.
Yeah.
Like, I know when I went to my tiebreaker on my grip pick six. Grip six picks. I
not a sponsor, by the way.
I put a very high number for the amount of under par that they would have.
A low number.
Yes, a very low number. A very high number if we're talking about distance from zero.
Yes.
Which is, of course, what I was talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
At
Albert Oakland Park.
And it was nothing the close. Back course. It was nothing close to what I thought. But I will also say that I had no chance at all for a tiebreaker because two of the six players that I chose...
Didn't play.
Yeah, didn't play.
Yeah. That is the biggest news, is that Hokum dropped out at the last minute, which was a pick for both of us. Conrad, right, also?
No, he played.
No, Conrad played. So that one stayed.
So I,
but like,
because we both had Conrad,
yeah.
I made the quick change up to Casey White, who's in the GK OTB skins, and then dipped.
And then dipped, yep. That was unbelievable. So there was no Paul McBeth, no Ricky Wysocki, no Hokum, no Heimberg. It really was a depleted field for this tournament. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that this is a Silver Series event. And, you know, a lot of people, given the course change and the fact that the Harmony Bends was unplayable, they would have to practice a new course. Just kind of went, you know what, let me get over to Emporia
and start working on that.
And start working on that and get points for an actual, you know, a full-on DGPT Pro Tour course. So that was the big thing for it. It just kind of unfortunate for the Mid-America Open, but it still had some great players out there. It just wasn't the real true firepower at the top end wasn't there for MPO or FPO. So, you know, no Paige, no Cat. I just said Pat. No Pat.
Well, we know that. We know what you meant.
So, all that. But we knew that at least in advance. But the Hokum was really late. A lot of people got burned by that on their picks. So, we just didn't really know. And then... I will get to it on Dynamic Disc Open, but Ezra, I don't know why yet, but Ezra dropped out of DDO, and I haven't looked on Facebook or anything because I don't do Facebook.
I tried to find it and I couldn't, but that was earlier.
But all of a sudden people are like, oh my God, Ezra is plus four on every single hole through four holes. And we're like, oh crap, that's a no show. And, cause that's PDGA rule, when you no show on a tournament, you get plus four on every single hole. And until you arrive. So if you're like one hole late or whatever and you get to your card, you can take over your tournament and just take the plus four on hole one and then play the rest of your tournament or two or three or four,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you get to. But that's what it is. And then he finally posted to an Instagram story that he had to drop out due to unforeseen circumstances or something. I didn't see exactly what it was.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if he injured himself with all his crazy videos that he's putting out, throwing all these full speed things.
You would think that he would put something out sooner. Like, you know, he was posting right before. You know, normally when you see this stuff, it's like a car accident or something like that, or traffic on the way.
But he rolls with,
like, remember Simon had that thing where this happened a couple years back.
But so he shares a vehicle with Yuliberry.
Yeah. So
and this Yuli was there.
Something different.
Well, but I hope everything's good. Yeah. I don't want to talk.
But yeah, he posted on an IG story that was basically like, I had to drop out. I'll explain later type thing. So
do you think Yuli pranked him?
Yeah, he says
pranked him too
IG
hard.
Story says, unfortunately I had to drop out of DDO. I can make a post later about it. So, and
well,
that's,
I hope everything's
that's
right.
All I know at this point. So hopefully everything's okay at this point. That was a huge diversion from the Mid-America Open. What was fun was that we got CCDG coverage again, which is always freaking amazing. I love it so much. Philo and Ian were fantastic on the MPO side. A lot of little nuggets from that. Philo, I was very happy to hear he's on my side on the Circle 2 stuff over and over again.
He even said, like, do you think they should move that out?
No, repeatedly. Over the course of multiple, like, all of the videos talking about moving that out. So, I totally agree with him. I don't agree with Philo on everything, but I totally agree that that Circle 2 needs to be the step putts from the edge of the circle from 33 feet need to be moved back.
Are garbage.
It's too easy. Ian made the point to say that every single one of the step putts
by Conrad
were legal and that he went through and checked them.
And I know that Philo was like, oh, okay. And yeah. And Ian was just like, I just needed to do it for myself.
Yeah. Because I think Ian also agrees that
he's
annoyed by them as well.
100%.
So we also had some good new phrasing, like Ninja Twig, which is good.
And Ninja Branch.
And Ninja Branch. And,
if you say it 75 times, like, maybe it'll just become a thing.
Yeah. I don't think it became a thing because I didn't see any memes about it. But I do appreciate it.
I don't know how we didn't.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about it, but I also kept it kind of secret because I wanted to say it for this podcast, how many times he said that.
Yeah. The other thing that the ESP Nuke thing has gotten so out of control that every time they said when Yuli was throwing the ESP Nuke and he actually was, I thought it was a joke.
Well, Ian had to make the point like, well, he started very early with, he's grabbing the ESP Nuke. He's like, but no, he's not. He's doing this. And then to say, he's throwing the ESP Nuke for real now.
I know, but like, then it kept happening because Yuli throws it all the time. And it's like, I just don't know. It's so hard to make sense of it because it's a meme now, but he really does throw the ESP Nuke all the time.
He does.
And, but I just can't separate it in my mind.
I feel like there should be,
because every time I'm like,
and one more time, condolences, Rick. Don't actually do this. But I would love to have a video, like a parody with Rick being like, I'm going to go with a pro pig. Like,
that would be
from
good.
All sorts.
I would like
or
that.
Like a Heimberg, like I'm going with a champ rhino.
Yeah.
Like on just the dumbest things ever. And it's like, oh no, that's really what they would do. Like, it's a 345. Uphill, I'm going with a champion rhino.
Yeah, I'm going with the. It's 375 feet, slightly uphill. I'm going with the pro pig. Like,
yeah.
What?
This is definitely a pro pig forehand.
Yeah.
Like, what? No. What?
Jesus.
But yeah, like, The repetitiveness was a little silly. Ian, as always, did a great job. And I love, talked about it forever, that they continued to talk about all the discs. And I'm pretty positive I haven't reached out to Ian. I should have. But round one, that KJ didn't give him disc names.
Oh, okay.
Because he didn't really... He talked about what everybody else was throwing, but he kind
That's a good point. I didn't notice that.
He kind of you know, found his way around, you know, bringing up other things and whatever and not actually explaining what KJ was throwing.
Well, maybe Prodigy just did Ian dirty on a disc order at one point, and he just...
No, you know what happened? You know how he gets the discs, right?
Yeah.
He messages them.
Well, I know that, but what if...
But if you're like King Quesadilla guy...
Yeah, true. True.
Are you going to be like 8 o'clock after your round while you're editing?
You're totally
getting
right.
Text messages and being like, oh, I need to get him this stuff?
You would think, because like, so...
Do you think he's King Quesadilla guy, by the way?
Kevin?
Yeah.
I think
he might be current King Quesadilla guy.
I think in terms of touring pros, I think Kevin is probably the Quesadilla guy.
I guess I would say as touring
and touring
pros,
elite pros.
Elite pro, yeah. Like top 20
of,
pros.
Of the top 20 pros that would partake in Quesadillas on a regular basis, I think that he is probably... Yeah, he's...
And with that knowledge, and it's no shade
at all. But
here's
the thing.
Elite,
like,
world champion, I don't know that Greg Barsby is a top 20 pro right now.
Fair enough.
For if he was, like, you cannot take the quesadilla crown.
Yeah, but he's also like a quesadilla guy and a slurpee guy, and like he's got...
You
got
to get the Mountain Dew to go with the quesadilla.
There's a lot more things going into that meal for him. But nonetheless, from a commentary standpoint, you also have... I thought there should be some, like, you know, respect between them, because you got Philo, surely a KCD guy. Like,
oh, yeah.
Has to be. And I'm guessing Ian, maybe not a daily KCD guy,
Ian's for sure a KCD guy.
So you'd think that they would all get together and discuss these things. Get together, make quesadillas together, and
multiple variations of quesadillas.
I think it only makes sense.
Remember, like, a long time ago, we talked about going to Canada.
Yeah.
God, that would have been such a quesadilla fest. That would have been...
You think so? Do they allow that in Canada?
I mean, I think that, you know.
I'll tell you, when I went to Canada twice, but I went once and I was so confused by trying to buy beer. I went into a grocery store and I was like, "Where is your beer?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, it's we don't sell beer here."
well, that's Boston. You're in a package store and stuff. And like, there's tons of places. And I feel so sorry for anybody who has to. I feel so sorry for anybody who has to deal with this. There are still tons of places in the United States, one, that you can't buy alcohol in a grocery store, but two, you can't buy booze on Sundays.
Yeah.
On football days, you can't buy booze.
It doesn't make sense.
What?
No.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can walk to a stupid little store next to my house and get booze pretty much anytime I want.
Yep.
And there are multiple
and frequently do
24-hour stores in my hometown.
Yeah.
24 hours, 7 days a week that I can buy alcohol.
Yeah. The only thing I think the line gets crossed if there was drive-through booze purchasing stores. Those that's where I draw the line. While I think it would be convenient.
California's basically become that with COVID. Like, you pretty much can be like,
dude, yeah.
You can't drive through. You have to get out of your car, but you can just get
booze.
I hope
that stays. Like, you should be able to order to-go cocktails from restaurants. Yeah. Like, why not?
It's just good for business.
It's good for business.
And for the people.
Let people do it. Like, keep that. If I don't want to go through the list of things that I think should stay post-pandemic, but the main one is that restaurants and bars should be able to do to-go cocktails.
And the number two is breweries in California should be able to ship to me anytime I want their beer.
Yep, that's true too. Yes.
Like, that should stay also because that is awesome.
So both of our things are alcohol-based, and yes, that's great.
If you didn't catch it, we're also quesadilla guys.
Yes. One of us makes more quesadillas every week than the other, but we...
Some of us just make quesadillas in different ways.
So the Mid-America Open.
Some like more grains in their quesadillas. Some like more, you know, greens in their quesadillas.
So, despite the reduced field, Kyle Klein was incredibly impressive.
He was. Oh, for sure.
His putt is fantastic. He putts with so much confidence. He has all the tools. It's so much fun.
His like 70-mile-per-hour throws, which one more thing about that I love about CCDG, I love the speed gun. I love the distance to pin. I love that so much. I love that they tell you what disc they're throwing. With that said, his like 70-mile-per-hour, 69-mile, all that stuff looked so effortless.
Yeah.
If I watched it with a naked eye, I'd be like, oh, that was probably like 55, 60. Like, he's not... Mm-hmm. Grunting, he's not ripping, and it was just popped and rolling.
Yeah, lot promising future for Kyle Klein. It's a lot of fun to watch him, and even I keep going to DDO, but like you got Gavin Burr again, like throwing well, like I cannot wait to see where disc golf goes. I can't wait to see what my kids are capable of when they get to be like 14 years old. Cause like I started with my kids throwing at like two.
Yeah.
Each one of them have had a disc in their hand and been throwing since they were like 2 years old. And I cannot wait to see what the next generation does with that kind of skill. Maybe my kids aren't athletic enough to do it because I'm not like a perfectly balanced person.
That's not true. You got wingspan on me for sure.
Oh, I've got a little bit of ape index.
Yeah, yeah. That's
on arms.
That's big for disc golf, in my opinion. One more digression I want to take when talking about Kyle Klein. Just a fun thing. Did you watch it all? The Paul McBeth, Nate Sexton, like trying to get the
yes.
So one of the greatest things that came out of that, which makes me think about Kyle Klein.
This was on Paul McBeth's course where Paul McBeth and Nate Sexton were trying to break the course record that Simon Lazat set. So for reference, looking to watch it.
That's Simon and Eagle, and now slightly Kyle Klein because he's a part of that world, have taken the nickname the Crush Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch the new nickname for Nate Sexton that just needs to stick?
No, I didn't.
Purely because of the forehand. And also for the fact that he multiple times was like, I think I'm just going to try and crush a forehand. Uncle Crush. I thought that was amazing.
It's so bad.
And like in editing, they did like a quick little thing, and I very much appreciated the Uncle Crush. Like Uncle Crush is so good.
Semi creepy, but
it's I like it. But like if you rewatch that, it's not as bad as the Ninja Branch and Ninja Twig. I swear every hole Nate was like, Paul's like, well, I throw like.
They definitely were throwing stuff up in that video all the time that was distracting. Yeah, I was like,
but
what
Paul
is happening?
The whole time was like, what? I'll throw a fairway and just flip it up and turn it over or this and this and this and this. And 80% of the time, Nate would be like, I think I'm just going to try and crush a forehand.
I'm going with the ESP nuke.
Basically, like, what are you going to throw on this? I think I'm going to crush a forehand. Yeah. Like, that's what it was. But I appreciated the Uncle Crush.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go top 10 for MPO.
I got it ready to roll.
Okay. Go. Do it. I love it.
As we already spoke, Kyle Klein at minus 27. First place. Emerson Keith did some work in the end. Minus 25. Tied with Chris Dickerson at minus 25. And I will say, real quick, we shouldn't touch on it all. Lots of very uncharacteristic missed putts by Chris Dickerson.
Yes. A lot.
Blown away.
Dickerson, I think very easily could have won this tournament by a bit.
Yep. Yeah, but nothing, taking nothing away from Kyle Klein. He played clean, and he honestly had probably another stroke or two that he gave up by just playing smart at the end, because he knew that Dickerson wasn't there to take it from him. Connor O'Reilly, up and comer. We're going to see more from him.
Yeah.
He may or may not be doing all right on a tournament that's going on right now. At minus 24 and fourth, tied with Paul Ulibarri, minus 24. Another solid round, another top five finisher, Paul Ulibarri, who just tends to just do that.
Why didn't Yuli win? Like, I feel like Yuli, this was one of those times. Come on, Yuli, you talk a big game. What's the deal, bro? Like, just get out there and do it.
Are you, like, challenging Paul Ulibarri?
I am.
All right. Paul, come play Robin.
I think the only thing I could beat Paul Ulibarri in is I think I could arm wrestle him and destroy him, and that's it.
Ooh, yeah, I could see that.
I think I could beat him at that, and I think that's about it. Maybe, I don't know if he's a skateboarder, but I bet I could land a kickflip before he could.
Ooh, I don't know if you want to get that. I could see him having like a nasty kickflip.
I can land a kickflip first try. So, like, I think I could do it.
Okay. The only thing I could take him in 100% is drinking. Like, that's the only thing I feel like.
Well, I was thinking athletically, but I mean,
that's athleticism, Robin.
No, it's right? not. It's really.
I don't have any athleticism that I could. I mean, if you want to try and tackle me, and I had like a football in hand, or vice versa, like we were playing like Oklahoma drill, I would feel 100%
confident.
What
if he's just got a legit spear game and just like cuts you in half?
My stiff arm's good enough to take care of that.
All right.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay, so hamburger drill.
Exactly. Hamburger drill, even if I'm slow to get up, like he's not. Mm-mm.
What if he's just on you and like two-hand touches you before you even get off the ground?
Oh, it's not two-hand touch. This is full contact.
Well, yeah, but if your knees are on the ground and he's just like...
I can get up quick. I was built to get up in hamburger drills.
Okay.
He ain't tackling me. Hell no. Mm-mm. I'd light him up too, for sure. That's like the only thing I've got going for me.
So Joe wants...
We played rugby together. Like,
Joe wants to physically assault Yuli.
That's the only thing I could do. He's better at everything. I'm not going to try and play basketball with him. I'm not going to try and do nothing with him. Like, purely size and aggressiveness is the only way that I could stand a chance anything athletically with that man. In sixth place, actually three-way tie for sixth place, Vincent Polidori.
Okay.
At minus -9. I bet that's local. I was thinking about that. I was like, how many locals didn't play in this tournament that are like regulars at... what's the first word?
Albert.
Albert Oakland. Like regulars, like the local pros or whatever. Yeah. Like, I could have won this tournament.
Yeah.
Which maybe Vincent was one of them. Chandler Fry and Joel Freeman, all minus 23s. Nico LoCastro with a minus 22. I'm actually pretty blown away that Nico is all the way that low.
Agreed.
This is.
Same with Corn Dad.
Oh well, I'm not even.
You're not even gonna get to him.
I'm not even gonna get there. And there's actually a few. There's actually a good handful past the top 10 that I'm pretty blown away.
But of course, they'd never played before.
Yep.
Short notice.
Totally. Playing blind. Okay. Anyways, going back. Ninth place, Nico at minus 22, and then there was a four-way tie for 10th with Jake Lauber, Noah Miensma, Raven Newsom, and Jeremy Colling. And Colling had some like weird bad kicks too. He played some stuff really well and had some rough stuff happen. I mean, Noah Miensma had one of the dirtiest spit outs you could ever have.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, it was a fun tournament. Coverage obviously was great. I would really enjoy playing the course. Like, I like the course. I don't mean any shade by saying I could throw a 6 or 7 down there, having a good day.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a different course than we're used to watching in tournaments like this.
Yeah, and I think that if we were to see all of the top the top brass there, we would have seen some real big numbers. So as we move on to FPO, I'm full honesty, I did not get to the FPO coverage this week in terms of watching the post-produced. So, Joe, I think you just do a rundown on that, and when I get to it, if we come through.
I would like to point out that had Sarah Hokum played,
yeah,
she most likely would have been in the top three.
She would have dominated.
And therefore, my top three FPO picks would have been super-duper solid.
Yep.
Because I picked her, Heather Young, and Vanessa Van Dyken.
Correct. Yep.
Heather Young took it down at a plus +2. Vanessa Van Dyken at a plus +3. Tied with Ellen Woodboom. Missy Gannon with a plus +4. In fifth was Sarah Gilpin with a plus +8. Tied for sixth, three-way tie. Kat Merch, Courtney Cannon, Deanne Carey, who we saw a few weeks ago, all at plus +14. In ninth, Rebecca Cox at plus +15. And in 10th, Lindsay Fish at plus +16.
Yeah. So, reading off that list, I'm now kind of like questioning as to whether I could actually throw six down. Because if Vanessa Van Dyken and Heather Young can't, maybe I'm a liar. Because I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Missy Gannon, Vanessa Van Dyken, Ellen Woodboom, Heather Young, all of these players would absolutely mop me up on the course. So I'm gonna take that to plus +6. From minus -6 to plus +6.
Yeah, I might go with that too, because as I am looking through all of their rounds,
looks to me like they were all over par.
No.
Okay.
The final round, both Heather Young and Vanessa Van Dyken threw even par.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I see that.
Once again, I said in 20 rounds.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, in 20 rounds, I could do that.
I don't know. I'm also taking it back, but I will say, not guarantee, because there's no guarantee, I feel very positive that in 20 rounds, I would have an under par round at very least.
Yes, I agree with that. I'll go with that. That's fine.
So that's really only like a 5-stroke difference in what we said. It's not really that crazy difference.
Yeah, it's not like we're complete armchair experts here speculating on something we know nothing about and have never been there. And you know, we're definitely not idiots. So anyway, Dynamic Discs Open, the DDO.
Glass Blown Open.
See?
GBO.
The GBO is in progress. There are a couple notable things. One, the early tee-offs got the benefit of good weather. Good weather is relative in Kansas and Emporia because they still were dealing with wind, but they didn't have rain. So when our main cards teed off, the feature cards on the live coverage on the Disc Golf Network, it was pretty much raining the whole time that they played. And not ideal for that. In fact, in the beginning, it was kind of like the kind of you're like, oh man, I don't even want to watch disc golf like this because I'm watching guys, you know, everyone who's like quick playing, you know, just get out from under your umbrella, decide your shot, throw it.
Step on the tee pad being like, well, this sucks.
Yeah, and let's go. And so you're not seeing these elite players at their best. And not the greatest for that, but it's weather. It happens. They still ended up,
whether or not you want it to. Hey,
they still ended up turning in some good rounds. Like I said, we're not going to spoil tournament at this point with only one round in the books. But what happened as a result of rain delays is that the FPO cards, there was like 6 cards that have to now do that basically couldn't finish before dark,
right?
And now have to do a shotgun start.
At 8:30 in the morning.
At 8:30 in the morning tomorrow, which is Thursday.
Hopefully none of them are quesadilla gals.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they can abstain for an evening. Or, you know, who knows? Maybe it helps them sleep.
Yeah.
I know that there's many people that like that, use that to... Never mind. But that has happened. So there's going to be FBO players that will have to play, you know, a partial round in the morning and then finish out their round, and we'll see from there. But it looks like we're going to have more weird weather and wind, definitely wind. So we'll see how that goes. We would normally do picks, but since it's in progress, kind of disingenuous at this point.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you right now, I would not have picked the top.
Yeah.
Had I done it last night.
I don't know. I mean,
some, but not all.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's always the case after round one. There's always someone that you're not expecting to
for
see
sure.
there. So that's super common. So be sure to check out DGN as you go. This tournament of all tournaments has so much post-produced that it'll be, there's so much coverage. So much coverage. So there's going to be, here, I'll pull it up now on the info page. So there's going to be the live on DGN, the MPO lead card on Jomez, the FPO lead card on Central Coast Disc Golf, the MPO chase card on Gatekeeper Media, the FPO chase card on Ace Run Productions, and then the MPO 3 card on GK Productions. So I'm not even totally sure how I'm going to watch all of this before our next podcast, but I'm going to have to start like tonight or tomorrow. Hopefully they start coming out so that I can get a jump on it and watch it and get there. But yeah, and then they're listing some other stuff, but I think it's just dynamic discs propaganda.
I think our next podcast is just a watch along. We're just going to
possibly,
we're just going to pop on whatever we haven't watched yet played in the background while we talk about what's happening.
Yeah. All right, Joe, you ready to do a deer review?
I am indeed.
All right. It is time for our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have Dangsta Lean by Cooperage Brewing Company, an 8% alcohol double IPA, and we're pairing it with the Latitude 64 Trident, a 6-speed 4 glide, minus 0.5 turn, 3 fade. I'm going to call it a fairway driver because I think it's a fairway driver. But a lot of people in reviews and other places are calling it a mid. I don't know how you can hold this in your hand and say this is a mid. It's got a pretty wide rim. So
yeah, it's a fairway. It's a fairway, but it's obviously a slower fairway.
Yeah. I think most notably, it has the most squared off nose I can think of in virtually any disc that's not a Stego or, you know, something like that. I mean, it literally has like a quarter inch completely vertical nose.
Like, I guarantee the 3D model they used to make this is where they started the, how am I already forgetting
so
about it?
We'll see if we can visualize this, but to me, this is, they took a 13-speed disc, and if they took like a cylinder and just like chopped off the nose, mm-hmm. that's what this disc is. So they just chopped off the point of the nose of the 13-speed driver, and that's what this disc is.
Okay. So where I was going, and then it clicked finally, I feel like the tilt is they took this and went, let's make it dumber.
Yeah.
Because it's molded by the same person.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they were like, let's just bring...
It is, you can definitely tell that the tilt is a progression on this.
Right. It's flat. It's pretty darn flat.
And we have this in retro
perfect.
Line plastic.
I was about to say,
so
we do
same,
need to point it that we have
well,
it in.
Not same plastic, because of course the plastic for the tilt is different because it's Discmania and it's definitely not the same plastic that they use, even though it's molded by the same company.
I
and
don't think they're
blah,
as
blah,
big
blah
on
marketing.
That as other disc manufacturers are like I think
well I mean it has a different name. What's the name of the tilt plastic? I'll go grab it.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, they
I know I'm just saying they,
like, if you interviewed Eagle about it, he'd be like, oh no, it's definitely different, you know. But
I
nah.
don't know that he would, and I don't know that Lat or DDR
everyone we've ever talked to when we talk, they always are like, oh no, it's different. And then
I feel like that was only one time, and that was
we mint. All know
that was just Mint was the only ones who actually had that big like, it's different different proprietary blend.
Yeah.
Love you, guy.
Yeah.
But I think pretty much everyone else is like, yeah, it's basically the same thing.
I mean,
but this one has glitter in it.
If it gets me another Eternal Bullet, I'll say anything. So
I just need to I need to cut that clip and send it.
Yeah.
Send it to Guy. So yeah, I honestly the 0.5 turn, and I'll tell you this right now, Robin and I threw this multiple times without looking at numbers at all.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly thought that because we had the retro plastic, which is prime, which is whatever you want to call it, it's their baseline plastic, we thought that maybe we had that one that was like less stable than the others.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking at the numbers, maybe this was slightly more stable. Like, I didn't see the turn. I didn't see...
No turn. If you had asked me what to give you the numbers, and we did prior to the show, we talked about this, I would have said like 7403.
I would have said
that,
six.
That would have been my guess.
I would have said 6.
I just never get 6 because there's not that many 6-speed discs. And
it reminds me of the CAX, just too much like how it is. It reminds me more of the CAX Z or whatever that we threw from Casta.
It doesn't remind me in terms of flight for that.
No, not in flight, but in the feel, like how it's just built. Like it is a weird tweener between a fairway and a mid, and it makes me think of a CAX just looking at it.
I don't get that. I see people saying that, but I just don't.
It totally like looks and feels that way to me. So I would have went 6 right away, and probably that 4-0, I might have said like 3-0-3, like not a ton of glide, and like decent hookup, but it wasn't, I think both of us from what we've heard and been told, were expecting like a really overstable disc. Not that it's not, but I was expecting like more meat hook than it was.
I mean, for me, I always defer to rim width for speed. Personally, this rim width is 1.9 centimeters.
I think it's just like the thickness of the rim that got me.
So, but like 1.9 centimeters is like borderline 9.
Or maybe
speed.
It was like the maybe it was even just like the super blunt edge that squared off that made me think of the CAX.
Got it. Because like I see the width of this rim. I hold it in my hand. I'm like, how do you tell me that this is a mid range? This is borderline like control driver.
I just, for me, the amount of that weight on the rim because of how thick that squared off edge is.
Got it.
Made me think 6 for sure.
So I don't know. Like your average 7-speed is like 1.7 centimeters in terms of the rim width. So I think anybody that's telling you that this is a mid-range is just kind of like...
No, I still don't think it's a mid... Like, for me, 6 is for sure a fairway. I think we had that same thing when we reviewed the
pack. I'm just saying I don't think it's a 6.
I do.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a brick, but I don't think it's a 6.
I mean, I don't even know that it's a brick. It's like...
Yeah, it is. I mean, look at... It's not going to cut the air like your normal disc. It's got this freaking literally like completely vertical cut on the outside. It's just not...
I
don't know where they got the minus 0.5.
Neither do I. But I would say it's not a brick. It's like a very poorly folded paper airplane. Whereas like it goes forward a little bit more than a brick would, and it kind of finishes a little bit more, but it doesn't fly that far or get like what you want it to do.
Yeah, I think the 6 is complete nonsense on it. I think this should be labeled as an 8 or more.
An 8? Wow, okay.
Dude, it's a 1.9 centimeter.
Well, you just said it was a 7 before you looked at
that
the
that was my guess
width.
When I did it, I just looked literally on the thing as to what it's rim
I just
is.
Think for
but
I think so
like
take,
7 to
take,
8 like it's
take,
not like I'm
take the,
talking crazy.
Take the width and all that aside, when you threw it, it
I
was
thought
not
it was a
high
7.
Speed. Okay, right, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well,
so going to 8 is not like.
Okay, touche.
I'm not just.
Touche.
Like making shit up. Just like when I felt it at first, I'm like, okay, it kind of seems like it's probably a 7 speed. It's got this crazy weird nose to it and goes from there. I think that whoever assigned it a six just probably
and pretty notoriously, Trilogy has not been amazing with their numbering of discs.
And then the 0.5. So I think the numbers are way off. I would be fine with my original assessment of it, which was that I thought that it was like a 7403 type of disc. I still think, having looked, you know, that was my guess, and then I looked at the rim width and I'm like, 1.9, that's big. I mean, I can check it with the calipers and see if that's what it is. I'm sure they're not wrong, but who knows?
I mean, I would not be upset by calling it a two fade too.
Yeah.
It wasn't
too crazy. No, so I guess flight is what people care about more than our semantics on the mold.
Speed and mold, right, and
stuff like that. Overstable for sure.
Yep.
Not crazy overstable like you're talking about. Like, even I think the resistor has more hookup than...
Has more hookup and more glide. It's a better... Yeah.
I had trouble finding a slot for this that made sense in my mind, because the flare, you know, like you jump up to like, you know,
it's 9 speed,
crazy more overstable, similar rim width. In fact, I should look. I bet the flare is 1.9 as well. It's so different.
It has nothing close to what a flare does.
Yeah.
What a Firebird does, what a Draco, like, totally different disc. And I think also, I wanted it to be like that, and it was not close at all.
I'm looking at a website that shall not be named, but can we get Streamline up on the main bar instead of Westside? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. I guess who's the biggest sponsored Streamline player, and the answer is I don't know.
There's not one.
And there's still Nico. But
touche.
The rim width on the flare is 2
centimeters. Who's the highest sponsored DD player? anyway.
But yeah, so the rim width on
I was gonna say the flare is definitely bigger.
It's 2 centimeters. So if you go by rim width,
sharper, flatter.
The Trident should probably be an 8 speed. But 9403.5 for the flare, like, that is makes more sense to me for your overstable.
But if you put a 4 and even a 3.5 and even drop it to a 3, even drop it to a 2 if you're talking about a Thunderbird, that's a 2. Yeah. A Thunderbird is way more stable.
But it's super odd. It feels like something that they were designing it to try and be something like the Tilt, and then it just, for whatever reason, didn't do that. And they're like, well, shit.
Well, because at that point, it's so small differences that they're like, if we do any more of X, Y, or Z, it's dumb and no one wants to throw it.
Yeah.
And then Simon was like, I want a dumb thing that no one could throw. And
Simon. Oh, you're talking about the Tilt.
Tilt, yeah. And Tomas might have been like, I'll make you something special that I definitely haven't already made that just did not work.
I'm going to make you a Trident, and I'm going to put a freaking truck on top of it to make it flatter.
Yep. So ultimately, I guess the main thing is the closest thing in flight, Robin already brought it up, in my mind, was the resistor.
Yeah.
But the resistor goes further and is more overstable.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't as overstable as I was expecting based on the
feel. Kind of hoping. I honestly was like... This will be like the true, because we're still searching for, or not we're searching. I think we know what it is. I think it's just having that true understanding that a super beef fairway driver doesn't exist.
I think the resistor is perfect for.
But I mean, like, in the sense of like that Firebird-esque stupid overstable.
I mean, part of what makes them overstable is that they're faster and people can't throw them hard enough to get those flight tamps, you know.
Man, I had those feelings. I played around yesterday and threw some lines that I feel like I used to throw Firebirds on, and was way shorter than I wanted to be, and went, yep, okay.
We're old, my friend.
Well, we're old, but it's also, I think, better form means less oats and Anheuser, which means the actual stability of discs are showing themselves.
You can rationalize it however you want.
I will.
But your muscles are falling apart and you're not going to be able to do stuff.
Every day I live, I'm a day closer to death.
Yeah, exactly. Just give up. Just let it go.
Never!
Except that you are a noodle-armed, gray-haired old man, and that it's time to start focusing on putting and talking down to the kids.
Not talking down to the kids, but I am focusing on putting. My putting, I have had a recent re-breakthrough. I feel my putting is like the most confident it's been in months.
That's great. I'm still going to crush you. But
I'm pretty sure
in a fun way.
Pretty sure I won our kid round at Dink and Dunk course. Just saying.
Our nine-hole rain-erupted kid with all kids.
Oh, no, I was talking about at Skyline.
Oh, okay. The Dink and Dunk course. Okay.
Yeah.
That one doesn't count because it's...
Yeah, I think I may have been losing to you in that kid round that you left halfway through. But you left halfway through, so... DNF, you know.
Yeah, I took plus four on all the additional holes.
Still a win for me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. My putting was solid at Skyline.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was great.
You were there. You don't have to say I'm sure. You'd be like, yeah, it was pretty good. Gosh.
You ready to talk beer?
I just want one more shout out to something that we talked about in the pre-show, and we think we brought it up here. Shout out to the A3. It's real good.
Joe's on board.
It's like more than I ever thought I could possibly be.
Yeah.
Prodigy, like, I was like, just why do people, and like now.
You know what I was thinking the other day? Why, like, Prodigy has their whole number system for their plastic. Like, if they just adjusted things a little bit to, like, use numbers that we all know and love, like, why isn't there a 420G plastic? You know, or like, you know, a special edition 69 plastic that is just like super soft. Like that's their super soft plastic, you know, because you need to be flexible, of course, for that sort of situation. But like, just go with it. Like even like an April Fool's post would be really fantastic. Be like introducing the all new 420G A3.
How many we would buy if they put out a 420?
There's 69 of them available.
We would buy that shit. We'd for sure buy that shit.
I'm just saying, Prodigy, if you're listening, use the numbers to your advantage.
And if you want the super ultra cush, like throw an 840 out.
Yeah. Maybe just make it start a Q line for the quesadilla guys.
Dude, yeah. Picture the quesadillas on disc. I'm telling you right now, you got some boys at the top.
Maybe a terrible idea because like QAnon, you know.
It could be misconstrued. It can't be Q guys. It has to be quesadilla guys. But I mean, you got Kevin Jones.
Yeah. Prime quesadilla guy.
For sure. Matty O is a quesadilla guy. I know we talked about this.
He might be closer to the Barsby, you know, the omnivore, shall we say.
For sure.
In terms of he's getting the beef jerky, the Slurpee, the quesadilla, the whole deal, you know, just.
Well, I feel like Kevin Jones is more on the vegetarian side.
The Slim Jim.
Kevin Jones is more like the vegetarian.
Got it.
In my mind, quesadilla guy, but loves them quesadillas. I mean, just for the amount of time that Seppo hung out with Matty O and Kevin, like.
Fair enough.
He's got to be down with some quesadillas.
Yeah. It's time to start virtue signaling, Prodigy. Your base loves quesadillas. Just start working with it.
Well, and pretty positive that Austin Hannon might eat his fair share of quesadillas, like in the dark at the end of the night when no one's watching.
He could be.
Just like eyes closed, just crying. Smashing a quesadilla. No tears, just like, I need this quesadilla. Like, I don't want people to see me eating this quesadilla. Like, I don't think people want to know I'm eating this quesadilla, but this is a good quesadilla.
All right. So Dangstaline by Cooper Brewing Company. 8% alcohol. Double IPA. What are your thoughts, Joe?
I mean, so it is. This is something we talked about maybe last week. Getting back to like an old-fashioned-ish West Coast IPA.
Yeah.
This isn't crazy piney. It's not over the top. It's got Nelson Racua and Citra hops. But it definitely, like, the Nelson comes through. It's close to that pine, but it's not that dank malty thing, and it's not a super haze juice IPA.
I'm about to take my first, well, second sip.
Oh, I'm like a two-thirds in.
This is really nice. Super smooth for 8%. You would never know it.
Really smooth.
Yeah.
It has the nice bitter finish. It's not fruity up top, but it's also not, like I said, it's not the crazy piney hit. I feel like the Nelson and the Citra kind of mixed together. I don't know what the other hop is, but maybe it's like right in the middle. There is that little bit of the fruity note on the nose, but not over the top. It's not like hardcore pineapple. It might be closer to like an overripe orange.
Mm-hmm.
And then just nice clean and through and a good bitter finish, but not a sharp bitter. Like a clean bitter. I know it's something you talk about a lot. Like, it's not really a dry finish, but it's, I don't know. It's nice clean finish. And once again,
I don't think it's dry at all.
For 8%, this is amazing. Like, I've had like 5-8 pale ales that are much more bitter and less bright. And with more heat than this.
For sure. So I believe, I was trying to figure it out, but I believe it's Racau.
Okay, that
it's
sounds
a,
right.
It's a New Zealand hop variety.
Woo!
Yeah. But,
and this is a local brewery. This is Santa Rosa, California. Robin and I, a year and a half ago or so, before COVID, got to go to some breweries on a beer tour for my birthday. And this is one of the breweries we went to.
Yeah.
And it was all right. It was good. I think it was the moment where we started getting hammered. But their beer was okay. And they're stepping it up. And that's the thing, too. And Rob and I kind of talked about this before we started the show. More and more, as they should, our local beer stores are stocking local beers because our local breweries are putting more and more great beers out regularly. And you know, got to support local, and we're getting less and less stuff from around the US. And I think, you know, COVID has a part to do with that because it's getting drank locally because people need that and it can be shipped easier locally, all that kind of stuff. So this is a local beer, but it's great. And there's so many great beers in our area just creeping up every day. Like every time I go to liquor store or grocery store and look at the beer section, I'm seeing newer and newer things that are local that look neat. And every time I pick them up, or not every time, I guess, with all of the amount of times that I pick them up, I am very, very rarely disappointed in what I'm getting.
No, this is a good one. I think this one could be like a regular rotation type thing in terms of how smooth it is, the kind of traditional IPA flavor to it.
So here's the other thing with our local stuff.
Can get a case delivered.
We could probably do that. But I'd also say that one of the cool things, I guess, it is a cool thing. I like it. Our local breweries have also, you know, and it works for the world we live in, have shifted away from having like 8 beers that they always make.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really like maybe 4 beers that are in constant rotation and then just lots of one hitters. I know that was a big Lagunitas thing early on was like the one
hitters. Yeah, Lagunitas always has their one hitter series.
But that's now kind of just the beer world where we live of like, yeah. I'm going to try this.
Yep.
Which is great for us. But in that sense, you know, as we talk about this as a beer, like I want to get all the time, there's a very good chance that we won't see this again, or it'll be a year till we see it again.
Could be, yeah.
Or things like that. With that said, I definitely had a Num Num Juice on tap last night.
Nice.
And it was so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Extremely good.
So good.
Yeah. I love this one. I'm ready to hit the final, but yeah. For me, this is a definite. I would rock this anytime. Dangstaline, 8% alcohol, Cooperage Brewing Company, double IPA.
Well, and I got a 4-pack and I drank one. I still have one in my fridge at home, which I might drink after podcast.
I mean, you just gotta pimp that credit card information over here and we can get 24 of them.
I know. We need to get... Well, here's the thing, too. Modern Times ships in California. We have not bought any case of Modern Times.
We can go to their spot in Berkeley. We have a...
Yeah, but we could also just go online from Sonoma and just have two cases shipped to our home.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think I win on this one.
I know, but we have a friend in the system that has... True. Well, has told you know us we could can do? Use his membership.
Both. So.
You're right.
I like it. Beer's great. Trident. Once again, point out one more time. It's retro. Maybe it's less stable than
In a quick search, I had trouble finding them available as well. So
I think it might be OOP, actually.
Could be.
Even though we got it in a... Whatever.
Was this a mystery box thing?
I feel like it was.
When would we have ever bought a lat?
I don't know.
Purchased a lat mystery box or a dynamic mystery box? I don't think we would have done that. So how did we get a Trident? I don't know.
I don't know. We got one.
The short end is, I think you can skip this one. I don't know what it's supposed to be. What I wanted it to be was something like the resistor, in which case, just get a resistor.
I wanted like a beef resistor. Stupid.
Yeah. And if you were thinking it should be something like a tilt, just get a tilt.
It's not
like that.
Don't get a tilt.
I don't know. Trident. I'm not sure what... It's cool. It wasn't as... Actually, to be honest, throwing it and having it be not as overstable as I was expecting was kind of refreshing because it did actually throw fine.
You know what you want?
I just don't know what... I could throw my mid-ranges that distance. I could throw my other fairways in a similar line farther. It just... It's a weird disc.
You know what we both have in our bag that is what we wanted this to be?
No.
A3.
Oh. I mean, I might be able to throw an A3 farther. Yeah.
Exactly. And hook up harder. And flare Maybe. Out more.
I don't know. We should try that and see.
I'm down.
We'll try that next time.
I've had some good...
We'll A3. Try that next time and report back. Can we throw a 4-speed disc farther?
I mean, A3 is like edge of 5-speed too.
Yeah.
A3 is a real good disc.
I know.
Anyway, try and...
Joe's in love.
I am. I'm... Give me a disc I can put two cheeks into and rip as hard as I want and do rad shit with. Like, I am in love.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. All right. So we are both in on the beer.
Oh, yeah.
We're both out on the disc, so we are 2 for 4. What is your review, sir?
The Mid-America Open. There's some cool
half
stuff.
Half the field?
Right. Yep.
Cool stuff.
But lots of desire was missed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll buy it. Cool. Well, that's all we got for you in this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. Be sure to check out our website, throwstuffatstuff.com. There's DGP merch. There is a link to join our Slack group. which is an awesome disc golf community filled with people from all over the world talking disc golf and all kinds of other shit all day long and all night long. So check it out. Link in the main navigation. Throw stuff at stuff.com. Join Slack. It's a fantastic community. And even if you just want to join and like and lay back, we will welcome you, and a lot of people will when you first get there, but we'll leave you alone after that. You can do what you want. So don't worry. There'll be like a flurry of people like excited that you've joined, but then you can just kind of...
And they'll back off.
They'll back off. You can do your thing. Be sure to review us on iTunes. Drop 5 stars. Leave an awesome review. We always appreciate it. Love reading new reviews. So thank you to those of you that did that this last week, and hopefully we got many more coming. Lastly, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. If you like the main show, you will love the pre-shows. So join our Patreon and get access to all of our pre-show recordings. You won't regret it. I promise. They're fantastic. So patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. It's just an important passage ritual for disc golf podcast listeners.
And in the meantime, no Mac Jones.
Yeah, please. Please, 49ers, don't draft Mac Jones. Come on, don't do this to me. Don't do it to me. God. Ugh. In the meantime, get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you want to put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA. So let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.